very, very rarely will I just sell. But it's, if I just sell, it's because I've been giving up so much good stuff before that. So watch how I do it. Copy it. Copy some of the stories and watch the autoresponder secrets that you get.
Hey, podcast listener. You're about to discover insider tips, tricks, and secrets to making more sales and converting more prospects into customers with email marketing. For more information about the Email Marketing Podcast or the Autoresponder Guy, go to dropdeadcopy.com/podcast. Hey everybody, it's John McIntyre here, the Autoresponder Guy, and it's time for episode 30 of the Email Marketing Podcast, where we talk about the top tips, tricks, and secrets for making more sales and growing your revenue with email marketing. Today, I'll be talking to a very cool guy, Neville Medora, the chief copywriter over at AppSumo and an entrepreneur. Now, he's wrote a bunch of sales letters and emails during the growth phase of AppSumo, which is a bit of a behemoth these days with all their deals on software and marketing products. So today is going to be a really interesting and actionable and useful podcast. So I hope you get a lot out of it. Today, you're going to discover three ways or steps that AppSumo and Neville Medora used to grow its business with email marketing, including a formula for creating breakthrough email so hot it makes people trip over themselves to buy your stuff. You'll find out why your marketing can't just sell stuff, that there's got to be a different element in there. And it's not as simple as the content marketing people make out where you just teach something. There's a very fine distinction here that you have to understand to really pull this off. And Neville's going to tell a personal story and about how he made people want his email so badly during the growth phase where they were emailing him, waiting for his next email. Okay, to get the show notes for this episode of the Email Marketing Podcast, go to dropdeadcopy.com/30. Now, I have another 5-star review for the Email Marketing Podcast. Today's review is from Forrest91. 5 stars for action takers only. If you're into email marketing, and you will be after listening to this, then you need a subscription to this podcast. John pulls in email and internet marketing experts that no one else has. So you get a unique perspective, which gets results. I dare you to come away from this show without an actionable idea. Thank you for the review, Forrest. I love hearing feedback like this. If you haven't subscribed to the Email Marketing Podcast, you might as well head over to the iTunes store, hit the subscribe button, leave me a review as well, and I'll read it out on the show. Remember, you can leave a link in your review, and I will read it out for you if it appears there in the review. Now, before we get into the interview, I've got one thing, a listener question. Here's the question. How did you learn how to successfully market so quickly? So this requires a bit of background. I went to the Philippines, and I wasn't really doing much. I was kind of trying a few different projects while doing the marketing for a resort. At that point, I wasn't into copywriting. About 18 months ago, I started learning copywriting, and 6 months later, I had this business, which was funding kind of like a lifestyle where I could travel around Asia, and I had clients, and now I've got a product and a podcast, and it's just taken off very, very quickly. So this person obviously knows about all that, and they want to know, how did I do it so fast? And a few people have asked me this, and the biggest thing I want to point out is that there are no secrets. There's no magic bullet button that I pressed. There's no crazy thing that happened that gave me this huge jump. It was really just taking action. I wrote out sales letters every day for months, and I'm saying every single day for at least an hour for months at a time. And that's kind of where I kind of built my chops. And then as soon as I got the opportunity to work for someone, I worked for them. You know, I wrote them a sales letter, and then we did an autoresponder, and it just gradually took off from there. So it's not just about taking action. You do have to think strategically and things like that. But the first step is take a lot of action. Go and read the books and write out the sales letters, and then find people to work for. Either do it for your own website or do it for someone else. And look, you can hustle up clients anywhere. It's not as hard as it sounds. The biggest barrier you're going to find is the barrier in your own head when you're like, oh, that would never work. Oh, I could never do that. Those people would never hire me. All these different excuses that we make to stop ourselves from doing what we really want to do, what we know we must do. You have to learn to deal with those things. If you're not willing to deal with those excuses and those uncomfortable feelings that come up, then you're not really suited to this, to being an entrepreneur, or to being someone who kind of blazes their own trail. But like, part of the price for walking this road is that you have to be willing to fight through those feelings. And we all go through it. No matter how high you get, you're always going to go through those feelings. So once you can do that, you're studying, you're putting it into practice, and you want to be aggressive with it. To me, I describe this as being a tiger. You want to be Try and generate that competitive side of you where you want to win, where you're not just content to sit around, but you want to kick butt, right? Kick ass, okay? This doesn't have to be too difficult. You just need to really get a clear vision of what sort of life you want to have and then get extremely committed to it. Not like, well, it'd be nice to have. It's got to be a must have. Now, there are a whole bunch of ways to do this, but you can sit down, you can visualize it, you can go and make a vision board, you can just think about it and try and figure out what you want, but you have to figure out what you want and you have to make it so compelling that you have to get there, that it's not a case of what if, that it's a must and that you know that sooner or later you're going to get there. It's just a matter of time, right? So this is, it's a mindset game, right? Developing the skills is fairly straightforward. Succeeding at it and making money at it is a mindset game. So yeah, I hope that helps. And but anyway, let's go get into this interview with Mr. Neville Medora and find out how to grow a company like AppSumo massively and really fast with email marketing. Let's do it. It's John McIntyre here, the autoresponder guy. I'm here with Neville Medora, an entrepreneur and copywriter. Neville's been writing sales copy and emails, all sorts of stuff over at AppSumo, and he was doing a lot of it during the growth phase. So he's got a ton of stuff to share about how to use email, how to use sales letters to really get people excited to give you their hard-earned money, basically. And today we're going to talk about three ways or steps, three concepts or frameworks that AppSumo has used and is still using to grow its business with email, how to get people to open the emails, even when they're selling every single day. So kind of run-of-the-mill, you know, usual stuff that we talk about, but with an interesting spin on it. So we'll get into that in just a moment. How are you going today, Neville?
I'm doing great, although it is like 5 a.m. over here, so apologize if I'm a little tired.
Really appreciate it, man. Have you got a coffee next to you or something like that?
Oh, no, I have to go back to bed after this. I'm not drinking coffee. Jesus.
Oh, okay, no worries. Well, before we get into the email stuff, man, tell us a bit about, you know, who is Neville Medora and what have you been doing at AppSumo?
Okay, well, I started doing all these little entrepreneurial things when I was in high school and college and all that kind of stuff. And then I was running a rave company. I've never been to a rave in my life, but a dropshipping company. And my friend Noah used to start coming over to my place in Austin and building this little company, AppSumo, he had on the side. And he's really good at getting people to sign up to an email list and all that kind of stuff. And at the same time, I was actually like intensely studying copywriting for my own business. I was studying the Gary Halbert letters, Joe Sugarman, all that kind of stuff. Yep. And I was doing the whole like writing out, you know, emails and stuff like that from the greats. And I saw Noah sending out about 50,000 emails every time he'd send out an AppSumo blast, which is like a tech deal. So it's like Groupon for nerds, essentially. Yeah. And I was like, dude, your emails suck. They just say like, buy this, you know, like literally that was it. But it was working. And I was like, you know, I have a hunch that if you just made like a much better email, that you'd probably make a lot more money and get a lot more engagement, yada, yada, yada. So he was like, yeah, whatever. Like, I'll give you a deal and you could try it out. And we'll just see what happens. So he gave me this deal that was it was called Kernist, and it was for fonts. It's a package of fonts, and every month you get fonts that are bundled together. Now, no one in their right mind, except like the nerdiest of nerdist, like font designers and designers, would actually want this. So Noah thought like, oh, we'll make a couple of bucks here or there, right? This turned out to be the biggest sale in AppSumo history at the time. And what I did was very different than what he was doing. He was saying like, hey, buy this package of fonts. This every month you get a package of fonts. What I was like, I had to find out, why would people want this? Like, what the hell would people want with this font package? And then I realized hardcore designers have a hard time matching several fonts together. There is a science to it. I was also a big fan of Steve Jobs, and he used to obsessively pore over fonts. And so I told a story, I reproduced a story about how Steve Jobs spends so much time trying to find the right damn font for the right damn product for the right damn thing. And I told the story in the email and then showed people how to apply it to their own business. So even if someone didn't open this or buy this Kernist package, they would still learn something on how to make money from their clients or how to impress their clients, right? Right. And so that's what the point of the email was, to educate someone and also at the same time to make it funny, just to keep it engaging. And so that was the first time, and that email killed it. And so me and Noah were both like, okay, that worked really well. Like, I don't see why we would not do another one. Let's hope it's not a fluke. The next one was a success. The next one was a success. And they were all like very, very long emails, maybe like 3-4 pages long, much longer than the previous emails. And they were brash. We wrote them under the guise of like the app sumo. Like I made up this fake character, like the fat sumo who weighs 512 pounds because he lives in Austin, because that's the area code is 512 for your phone. And so it was just a hilarious thing. We were just like really having fun with it. And so you always talk about casual copy. Well, this was casual copy to the max. I mean, it was awesome. And so I don't know if I actually answered your question, but go ahead and ask another one.
No, that's good, man. That's good. I think that really nails down on the point that, you know, when you're trying to sell something, most people go, well, like, how can I just talk about this product? Like, what can I say about this product and make people buy it? But what you did is kind of drill down into, like, why would someone want this product? It's not about the product. It's about what does someone else want?
I've been writing blog posts for a long time, and you can kind of get a pulse on what people like. And here's a very important concept for everyone to kind of tattoo on their forearm or, like, literally, like, print out on a shirt so you can see it every day. It's this simple phrase right here. It's no one cares about you. They care about themselves. And I'll repeat that. It's no one cares about you. They care about themselves. And if you understand that, it makes a lot of sense, because if someone emails me and they're just like, our company is dedicated to the highest quality of service and blah, 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 like all crap like that. One, it's just generic, so I'm not listening. But two, it's all about the company. Like I actually don't care about Apple. I care about the products I get from Apple, that what they do for me, you know? Do they make me look cool? Do they make me more productive? You know, can I do this on them? That's what I care about. And so if you understand that no one cares about you, they care about themselves, it's way easier to write an email to a bunch of people. Mm-hmm. So I just give them stuff. That's it. I just give them stuff, and there's a small pitch at the end. That's it. It's very simple.
Okay. No, I totally agree. Email's really simple. So, well, let's get into it, man. Well, like, we got three ways or three steps. What's number one?
The first one is kind of a concept, and it's they should learn something from this, regardless if they buy or not. Really, no matter what I'm writing, I try to make sure the person learns something. So a lot of people during the big growth phase at AppSumo would tell us, they're just like, dude, getting your emails is like a free MBA, because instead of explaining like how to use these WordPress themes for photographers, let's say, for example, we're selling a WordPress theme for photographers, and it's like it's a portfolio theme in the package of them. Instead of saying, hey, we have a package of these, like buy it if you're a photographer. No, I would explain why photographers make more money when they have this online resource. So I would do some research, and it showed that like 85% of photographers didn't have portfolios online, but you make 85% more money, you know, something like those numbers, whenever you have an online portfolio. And that's what people look at. And so these specific WordPress things were made specifically for photographers to increase their business. So whenever you position it like that and saying like, here's some WordPress themes, those photographers go bananas for it. Right. And so they learn something. So they actually learn something interesting out of that email, not just that, oh, we have some crap to sell you. It's like, oh man, I really actually do need an online portfolio. So that's the first concept you should learn. And then the next thing is the ADA formula. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, before we go to the next one, there's an interesting thing here that people should understand is the difference between hard teaching and soft teaching. And it sounds like what you're doing is soft teaching, where you're kind of teaching them this general idea that, well, most photographers don't have a portfolio, but the ones that do, hey, they make way more money. They get more press coverage. They get more attention. But you're not actually teaching them something that they can go out there and, well, here's a step-by-step plan to do X. You're just teaching them that this idea that there is a benefit to having a portfolio, right?
Hard teaching, soft teaching, I don't care. I want to get more information in their heads. They should be better off after reading my email than, you know, if they didn't. That's why people were so hooked to them, even like my own email list. That's why people are hooked to them, because you learn something each and every time. Okay. And so there are times where I would say, here is exactly how you make money with this tool. Step one. That was a very common tactic I used all the time. Yeah. So hard teaching, soft teaching, they should learn from it. That's the main thing.
Okay. Interesting. Cool, man. What's next?
Yeah. The next thing is I use the ADA formula for the most part. Like, I mean, I have like tried to resist this formula so much and break away from it. And I just kind of naturally write in that way, the ADA formula. So what I used to do is I used to actually on the page before I start on my computer, I would in bold letters type in attention, interest, desire, action. And then I would just fill in those four parts, and literally the sales letter would be done. I mean, It was that damn simple. And so use ADA, and you can use testimonials and stuff, but like the ADA formula is just beautiful. It's a proven formula. Use it. Like don't feel, a lot of entrepreneurs are kind of like, they try to go against the grain on everything, including me. And this is just one of those things that's been around so long because it just freaking works. Like just use the ADA formula.
Right. Right. Give me an example. Like, I think some people will probably hear that. They go, all right, well, that's great. What's ADA to begin with? And give me an example of how someone would use it in an email.
Oh, man. People don't know about ADA. Oh, man. This will change your life. Oh, God. Pay attention. Whatever you're doing right now, stop it and like get a piece of paper. I'll explain this to you real quick. Literally, I'm not kidding you, John. Like, this is going to sound like a pitch for ADA, but like the day I learned this, I started making more money. I'm not even joking you. I learned it from the Gary Halbert letters originally.
Yep.
I don't know where he got it from. It's a concept that's been around for a while, but it's a little formula. AIDA. It's like AIDS, but ADA. And so it stands for attention, interest, desire, and action. And if you're on the other end, please write this down if you don't know this. It's attention, interest, desire, and action. And the point of that is, this is a structure for an email or any piece of copy or any video or any audio. And what you do is you first get the person's attention, then you get their interest, then you get their desire, and then you get them to take action. And this is like what Joe Sugarman will call like a slippery slope. And so once someone hears the attention part, it gets their attention. It grabs their attention of the right person. And so you've got them kind of going like, huh? What was that? What was that? What was that? And, you know, you got their attention. Then you interest them with kind of interesting facts or interesting things about whatever you're trying to sell. So let's say it's, you know, photographer WordPress themes. You grab them with interesting facts. Did you know that like 85% of photographers don't have a website? However, we found that 90% of people hire a photographer based on their online portfolio alone. Just having pictures up in a nice website is what they base it on. That's all. And so that's an interesting fact they just learned. And that you could put up a website in like literally 5 minutes with these WordPress themes. The desire would be that you can boost your sales by having a WordPress site. And so if you're a photographer, you can use these and within 5 minutes, you'll have it. That's the desire. You make them want to desire the product. So they're like, oh, yeah. How do I get that? You want in their head in the desire section to kind of make them think like, yep, I'm going to buy this. Like, this is a no-brainer. And then in the action section, you get them to take action. So click the buy button and install this WordPress theme or sign this petition or download this file or whatever the action you're looking for, lead them through the process, like literally handhold them. So you've got their attention, you've got their interest, you've made them desire the product, and then you tell them how to do it. And that is just a beautifully simple formula or framework, structure, whatever the hell you want to call it, yep, of how to get people to buy something or take action or do anything.
Okay. And use these all the time for sales letters, for any emails over at AppSumo.
Like everything, like not even just sales letters, but it pretty much everything.
Yes. Do you ever use this when you're emailing friends or family? Like, I find this formula applies to any time you want anyone to do anything.
Absolutely. I use it pretty much everything now. It's just like a built-in way of, I even think like,
it's a way of thinking.
Yeah. It's like, why wouldn't this work? It just makes total sense. Right.
Right.
Because it's like, you think about it. If I'm like, hey, let's go to a movie or hey, let's go karting. If I wanted to really sell it to you, I would say, hey, John, do you want to have some fun today? And I'd have like a funny look on my face, like a goofy smile. And you'd be like, what are you up to? And I'm like, you know how you like driving? Imagine 2 G's on every turn. And you'd be like, what are you talking about? And now you're interested, right? And then I'd be like, well, I know a place close by. We get in a car. Your ass is 2 inches off the ground when you're driving. And you go 50 miles per hour, but it seems like you're going 150 because there's no cage around you. It's dangerous. You don't even wear a helmet. It's crazy. And then I say, it's at this go-kart place and it only costs $20. And so, and like, that would just be a much better way of selling you on going go-karting for the evening rather than just saying like, hey, let's go go-karting, you know?
Right.
So yeah, you can say like, hey, buy my book. Or I could tell you, hey, I have this little book that I made that I can, you just stick on your desk. That's it. You keep it on your desk. And whenever you need some inspiration, you kind of like just flip through it. Like, wouldn't that be cool? Like, if you ever have a problem writing, like you flip through it within like 5 minutes, you'll get an idea. You're like, yeah, that's cool. And then I'll be like, oh, well, you go online and buy my book and that blah, 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 whatever. It's just a better way of selling something to anyone, a friend, a family member, or a random person on the email list.
Right, because it has to be done in the right sequence. You can't get someone to take action if they're not interested, or if you don't have their attention, you can't do anything. But if you have their attention, but they're not interested.
You can get people, and a lot of like internet marketers do this scammy shit where they, you know, they hide information, or they say like, and the secret to life is sign up for my email list, and like, you know, that kind of bullshit. So you can get them, but here's the thing. A lot of people that sign up for a shitty email list don't want to, you know? Like there's been a lot of times where they say some huge secret, and I'm like, God damn it, I'll just put my email in. But I unsubscribe immediately. Like my intention is to unsubscribe. And so with the ADA formula, you make them want to buy your product or subscribe your email list or take your action. Like that's the beauty of it. You make them in their mind willingly want to do it. So you get lower refunds and all that kind of stuff. That's why we get very low refunds compared to any sort of like internet marketer kind of person. We didn't even want to be considered internet marketers at AppSumo because what we did was so far removed from that bullshit. Like we were telling people exactly what was going on with our emails and the products. We would list the shortcomings right away. You know, I mean, we would disqualify people. I mean, it was great.
Okay.
But it all stemmed from ADA. Yeah.
Okay. I've been doing a thing lately where I'll send out an email to the list and I'll say something like, I think one of the emails I sent recently has a line and just, this is a promo email. In this email, I'm going to sell you something. And it's counterintuitive, but that works. People love that. They love it breaks that pattern. I don't know why, but it just works.
For example, if we were selling a piece of software that was only for the Mac, like Alfred for Mac or something like this, a little shortcut toolbar. If we were selling that, like you know, we knew that like maybe 60, 70% of our people were Mac, but there was a good portion. And when you're at 700,000 people or so that are not. And so we would say right at the beginning, by the way, if you don't use a Mac, just you know close this and go eat a taco or something like that. Give you a fair chance. And the weirdest thing is that people end up reading it. Like they're just like, no, screw you. I want to read this now. You know, yeah. Like you're actually making them want to read it because also we have that built-in thing that people knew that they're going to get good information out of our emails regardless.
Yeah.
And so people would willingly read all of our sales emails, which is hilarious to me.
Okay. Okay. Do you have many replies to your emails?
Oh, tons. Yeah. If we it's like, so for my own email list, I personally put my own like email address and people can reply and I get lots and lots of emails. I wish they would just leave comments on the blog sometimes. So, you know, it increases those numbers, but, but a lot of people for whatever reason want to just respond to me personally. And literally every time I send out an email, I'll get hundreds of emails back. Yeah. Right. I try to answer them as much as I can, but yeah, I do get tons and tons of emails back.
Okay.
Especially if I ask for something, obviously.
Right. Okay. What's number three, man? What's step three?
The other thing is a story. And let me tell you this little story that happened at AppSumo. There was like the shift in the company at some point where we went through this phase where like I was writing all the emails during the big growth phase. And then we hired a bunch of sales guys to get more deals. There's like three deals a day that were get sourced. And then we hired like three copywriters to take over my job because it was too overwhelming to write all that copy. And they all sucked. Like they were just not good for whatever reason, our fault, their fault, whatever. They just didn't cut the grade. Like people were not as interested in their emails and they started sounding like typical internet marketing bullshit. Like, do you want to have a better life and blah, 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 all that crap. You know, it's just like, it's not true that this product is going to make your life better or whatever. And so what happened is, so we had all these people and the company was all about money at some point and we scaled back to where we were like, look, like no more of this crap. We're going to cut out all these copywriters, all these sales guys. The quality of the deals is crap now. And so we switched this format of like telling a story about stuff. So the articles go viral, like the sales letter actually goes viral. But here's the thing. People don't want to share a sales letter. Usually they do not want to share a sales letter for the most part. So we were just like, let's try to write a story. And there was like a lot of fighting, especially from my side. Like I did not want to move to this new format. So we told it, we were promoting this thing called Prey. Do you know what Prey is?
Yeah, the security software.
Exactly. I've got it on all my Macs and everything because I got robbed one time. I had a nice apartment and it was on the first floor and someone came and stole $5,000 worth of all my Mac stuff. And it put a whole like kind of tailspin on the way I thought about everything. I started closing my blinds all the time. It made me a little bit more of a shut-in. I was kind of like, every time I walked into my apartment, kind of like checked around, made sure there's no one there. And it made me really paranoid. And I told everyone this, and then later on we promoted Prey, which is the software I started using to track all my Macs after that. And I was trying to write the copy of why you should use it, but people were like, dude, that story you tell is so good. And so literally the very first thing whenever we kind of changed the format was you go to appsumo.com/prey, P-R-E-Y, and you can see this story. And it tells the story like literally like I walked in to my apartment and everything was just moved just a little bit. And it goes through all the emotions, and it's a very vulnerable email. Like I started talking about, like if you look at my my MacBook Air and my iMac, I draw all over them with permanent marker. And I ruin beautiful pieces of art and these computers. And people are like, what the hell do you do that for? And I'm like, well, in case someone steals it, it's going to be harder for them to sell it. It won't even prevent being stolen. It's an irrational thing. But that's what went through my mind. And as I told the story, a lot of people related to, like, you know, when their car was stolen or they had something stolen, like an iPod or something small like that, or a laptop.
Yeah.
It's a very violating feeling. Like it like violates your manhood. It's weird. Like if you've ever had anything stolen, it violates your person. You know, like something has been taken from you metaphysically.
Yeah.
And so I kind of told a story, and man, it just fucking killed it.
Wow.
It killed it. When people emotionally connected to me and got sucked into that story, I mean, Ramit Sethi, Derek Halpern, these guys are, you know, master marketers and copywriters. They were all like, they both emailed me. They were just like, dude, this is the best copy you've ever written. Like, and it was because I told a story. And imagine like if you're on stage, or like you're in the audience at a kind of a boring conference, but a guy's like, I'm talking about large SMB businesses, but let me tell you a story. You know, after I got a divorce, and all of a sudden everyone listens because you're relating to them on a very personal level. Mm. And usually the more personal the story, the better. Like if you feel a little uncomfortable saying it, it's probably a good one, you know?
it's incredible. Like that line, like, let me tell you a story. So the other day, that phrase has so much power, and so many people don't understand it. But if you're in a conversation, you're in a speaker, or you just watch good speakers, they say that over and over and over again. They're just story after story after story. It's incredible.
And kind of use the ADA formula. Like I have a lot of good stories, but I'm like, hey, did I tell you about that time I illegally snuck into Cuba? And like, that's kind of like the hook of the story.
That's your attention grabber. What's the interest in that story?
Some I couldn't. The interest was just like, we went to a country, like I traveled all over the world, but I have never been to a place that's literally stuck in 1950. It's literally stuck in 1950. Internet is illegal in the country. No one has cell phones except hustlers, prostitutes, and cab drivers. The best job in Cuba, guess what it is? Take a wild guess, John. What's the best job in Cuba you can have? Over here, it's like doctor, lawyer, entrepreneur, stuff like
that. A politician?
God, no, because you'll never become a politician. The best job in Cuba you can hope to get, bartender.
Wow.
Bartender, and then second is cab driver. Bartenders make like 50 times more than doctors. You know,
wow.
That's an interesting thing. Yeah, and then you can just go on from there. So that's Cuba. That's like one particular story. But yeah, that's –
Well, if you go, that you go attention, interest, is there any desire in that story that you're trying to build up to? How would you use that to sell something?
If I were to use this to sell something, like let's say we were trying to sell a travel package to Cuba. Okay. So let's try to sell a travel package right now. Okay?
Let's do it. Okay.
I actually have been to Cuba, which is, for your information only, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. It's the United States and it's Cuba. So, you know, do the math. And so if we were trying to sell a travel package to Cuba, I would use the ADA formula. And just say it. I'd be like, I've been all over the world, but there's one place that's literally stuck in 1950. There's a lot of places that don't have a lot of internet or that have a rich class and a poor class that seems like they're stuck in 1950. But this place is literally stuck in 1950, and it's Cuba. And the reason is it's a communist country cordoned off from the rest of the world. Internet is illegal in the country. The people are kept ignorant, so they do not want lots of communications, TV channels, etc., controlling the minds. However, there are ways to get into Cuba, and we have figured it out. And so so that's kind of like the interest part. So anyone interested in travel and traveling to crazy places would all of a sudden be like, wow, I've been a lot of places, but this sounds pretty interesting,
yep.
You know? And so then you can so those are kind of like the interest points I kind of gave. We'll just kind of presume those are some of the interest points. And then the desire would be like, we know how to get you in to Cuba. And what you can do theoretically, this isn't real advice. This is theoretically what an American could do is go to Mexico. So book a trip to Cancun, and then they can hop Cubana Airlines, pay cash, and go to Cuba. Now, there are several things I'm going to teach you that you need to know. For one, it is actually not illegal for Americans to go to Cuba. It is illegal for Americans to spend money in Cuba. You see what I just did there, by the way? I taught them something. Did you know that?
Yeah.
You probably didn't. And or if you did, a lot of people, I just taught them something. This is a very important fact. I haven't even sold them anything yet. There are two, and then there's a trick. There's two ways to travel Cuba. There's one as a tourist and there's one as a local. The tourist will cost you at least $2,000. Being a local might cost you $20 for the entire trip. Here's how you do it. There's two different currencies in Cuba. They're both like completely useless currencies anywhere in the world, but there's a Cuban peso and then there's the Cuban convertible peso that is for locals only. However, I'll tell you all the places that you can use this. And what happened was one of my friends exchanged for the Cuban convertible currency at the airport. And the lady said, "Are you sure?" He only exchanged $20. She gave him back this comical large pile of cash, like literally like 5 inches high stacks of bills. And we used that for six guys for the entire trip in any place we could pay in convertible pesos. And we only spent about $11 of that because it's cheap. Because the Cuban people only make about $18 a month, $13 to $18 a month. And so their currency is completely valueless. Like it makes that a family can live off that. So it's completely valueless. And if you can use that, you do the whole trip for extraordinarily cheap. A bottle of rum plus mixers and everything will cost you $1.40, you know, for the good stuff in Cuba. So that's kind of like the desire for people to go. Like this sounds like a real adventure to anyone who wants to travel. And so then if I were to take an action, be like, email me at nevmed@gmail.com. And I can tell you the reason you have to email me and not sign up on a form is because obviously there are some very sketchy laws with United States and Cuba. So I will have to email me your phone number and I will personally call you the next day and we can discuss the details and if I can help you. And so now it almost seems like an adventure to try to like, you know, try to contact you. You know, there's no form to fill out or anything like that. I gave people exact step-by-step instructions on that action part. Now I'm probably much more likely to recruit someone with that method and weed out all the people. So if you're not interested in travel, you love staying in Ohio and sitting on your ass all day, the Cuba thing probably won't be that interesting to you. But if you are interested in travel and adventure, what I told you will very likely interest you a lot.
Absolutely. So, I want to go to Cuba.
That's how I use a story and Ada. And keep in mind, everything I told you was real, you know?
That makes the story better.
Yeah. Well, you can't lie. It's easier to tell the truth. I mean, lying's bad in the end. And so I told a true story and I even softened it. Like there's other stuff I just don't want to say on a public podcast. So.
Right. Okay.
That was actually kind of like a trick I just told you to like kind of like get them to call me, you know? There are certain things I just don't want to talk about publicly, and you
but
will talk about it.
But if you give me a call, we can talk about it on the phone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, because obviously for this situation, like this isn't something you should publicize. So call me. And people are much more likely to call now that they have some incentive and curiosity. That's the thing. They willingly want to call. I didn't say the secret to going to Cuba is call me on the phone.
I'm sitting here wondering if anyone's actually going to email you and try and call you because they want to know more about Cuba.
They can. Yeah. I wrote a nevblog.com/Cuba and you can hear all about it right there. My pictures and all the kind of stuff.
Nice, man. Okay. Well, we're almost at time, but before we go, I wanted to ask you one last question about how did you make people want the AppSumo email so badly when you were growing so fast?
So one of the things we targeted was kind of like entrepreneurs, wantrepreneurs, freelancers, developers, basically nerds, right? People that are on a computer all day, kind of know their way around a computer already. Those people all have something in common. And I ran a financial blog for the longest time. And so I was actually one of these people. Like I was the target demographic for a lot of the deals we were putting out, you know, the Alfred app, like certain like Camtasia for Mac, video editing tools, all sorts of stuff like that is what we were selling and promoting. And so I was a target audience. And so I kind of knew what people wanted. And they love it whenever you teach them something for free. Like that's great. So if we had a video editing app, let's show someone how to make money using that video editing app. And I always use the phrase how to make money with it because Let's say we're selling something for $100, like, I don't know, Dropbox or some like backup storage type of thing, or a piece of accounting software. That's a good one because those are so boring. No one wants to read about accounting software, but you know what? We sold the hell out of that stuff. And here's how. Whenever I would talk about accounting software, I wouldn't say like, oh, this makes it easier for you to blah, blah, blah. I would say like, look, if I would try to see who's the ideal person for this. Do you have a business under $250,000 a year and you do your taxes yourself? Well, this will save you $20,000 and here's how. And then it goes on to show why, like how like I used to run my businesses and I was really bad with numbers. I was really good at running the business, but really bad with numbers. If you just plug this in, this particular plugin or whatever, it tracks all the stuff for you. So when it comes time to import your TurboTax or QuickBooks or anything, you literally just push a button. And that saves you so much time. But not only will it save you time, it saves you psychological time. And I would tell them because I've been through the situation. Like psychologically, whenever I had to do numbers and stuff like that, it stressed me the hell out. Like it, because I'm not good with numbers. I don't like them. I wish someone else would just do them. It stressed me out. And when it stressed me out, I was less productive. And then I would spend a whole day. I would literally put on my to-do list, like do accounting for taxes. And I would be like, God, like this is the task I don't want to do. Anything to like solve that pain point for me was huge on like a business level and a psychological level.
Yep.
And I would explain that and then give a short sales pitch about them. And I would also say, so like, here's how you save a bunch of time if you run your own business. So saving time, making money, doubling your business, getting more emails, getting more signups, getting more customers. Those are things that people obviously will part money for. So if I save you a lot of time and a lot of money, it doesn't really matter what the cost is. $100 is nothing if I justify the value to them, you know?
Okay. So you said that's how you grew the business. So that was how you were doing the emails, during the growth phase. You were just hitting up this time saving and this money saving ideas.
Yeah, kind of. So if we're selling WordPress themes, it's like, if you're a designer, why will this buying this package make you better? If it's a font package or design graphics package, why will this make you a better designer and how to do it? And we'd literally explain why, you know? So talk about like, you know, all these graphics and how they can be used to impress your clients and stuff like that. Literally show them step by step. So everyone was learning, just like you learned something in that Cuba story about the convertible pesos and everything.
Yeah.
You learned something there. And so people would read all of our stuff because it was one, entertaining, but two, it was very, very, very educational. All of it. Every single email was educational. And if it wasn't, I probably didn't write it.
Okay, fantastic. Well, we're right on time, man. So before we go though, give yourself a plug. You mentioned you were doing consulting calls for the first time in a while. So talk about that and then we'll say goodbye.
Oh, yeah. I'll give it a little tip out there for all the copywriters. I just told you on the call, I gave you a little hook. I was just like, I found out a way to do consulting calls only on my own time, only whenever I want to do them. Sign up to my email list, nevblog.com. And at the very top, there's a big obvious sign up. I have an autoresponder there where you get like a couple, like a 8-part marketing course. People love these emails. Like people have been telling me it's like their favorite email list. People like literally only read my emails of all the marketing emails they get. I get that all the time. Shameless plug. And I send out stuff all the time that you'll see. Like it's all educational. I never just sell you. Very, very rarely will I just sell. But if I just sell, it's because I've been giving out so much good stuff before that. So watch how I do it. Copy it. Copy some of the stories and watch the autoresponder sequence that you get at first, but you also get broadcasts. What did you want me to show you? How to do the consulting
calls. Yeah, tell us about that.
So what I do is on my email list, I'm starting this next week. So if you sign up quick, you'll probably see this. I put three different times. So let's say I want to do Tuesday. I want to do hour consult calls and make some money. It's like my own little personal ATM. What I'll do is I'll make 10 a.m. I'll make three products, okay, on my website, just images. 10 a.m. on Tuesday, 2 p.m. on Tuesday, and then 4 p.m. on Tuesday. And it's an hour consult that we talk over the phone or on Google Hangouts. And I put a little Gumroad link, gumroad.com. It's a PayPal, or you can use a PayPal button, whatever the hell PayPal you want payment you use. And I broadcast out like, hey, I usually don't do consults, but I'm doing 3 1-hour consults. The first one's at 10 a.m., the next one's at 2 p.m., and the next one's at 4 p.m. And reserve it. And people are just like, oh, yeah, I do want Neville's advice on something, and an hour sounds about good. And so they go and buy those times. And I get emails that says like, you know, John McIntyre bought 10 a.m. on Tuesday. And so now I know I have to just call you and I just call your phone number. And that way it's on my time. It's not like this, you know, the scheduling bullshit that you go through whenever you get a call. Let me send you some of my stuff. And then you have to like look at their for 30 minutes. And then like you have to keep in your email and get back to them at some point. And now you spent 2 hours of your time thinking about this. You haven't emailed the person back. Then you have to, and they're like, no, Wednesday doesn't work for me, blah, 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 blah. No, I just say like, hey, I'm available at these three times. You buy one and you set the limit at one. So whenever someone buys it, it's out of stock at that point. So they can't buy it anymore. No one else can buy it. And that actually creates like a little scarcity. Whenever I've done that in the past, people are just like, wow. This time he says that, like, you know, get some of my time. It's all booked up. So next time I see it, I'm going to buy fast. And that way I can do it all on my own time without scheduling and all this crap. All right. You buy.
Simple solution.
10 a.m. to 11 a.m. and that's what you get. Yeah.
Nice work, man. All right. Well, I'll have the links to that in the show notes at dropdeadcopy.com. Thanks for waking up early to do this podcast, man. Really appreciate it.
I'm going back to sleep now.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. If you want to discover more insider tips, tricks, and secrets about driving sales with email marketing, sign up for daily email tips from the Autoresponder Guy. Go to dropdeadcopy.com/podcast. Sign up, confirm your email address, and I'll send you daily emails on how to improve your email marketing and make more sales via email. You'll find out why open rates don't matter and the seven-letter word that underlies all effective marketing and much more. The editing and production of this podcast were provided by Authority Engine. Learn more at authorityengine.com.